Thank you, Brother Lenny. Thank you, Brother Bobby. And thank you, choir, for blessing us. Amen. And leading us into the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I could listen to that song for a while. In fact, while I was sitting there, I was thinking, when I get home, I'm going to go look for that song on YouTube. Amen. I love it. Certainly glad to see all of you here today and wish you all a blessed and Merry Christmas and a prosperous and peaceful New Year's. Good to look out and see our students, our college students who are here. Amen. Brother Michael and Jalen and Christian and Tiara. Amen. I've been hearing some good news that you all have had your nose to the grindstone and got some great grades. Amen. Amen. And of course, Sister Deb Smith called me and let me know that Daisha got a 4.0. Certainly, we thank God for all of your success and pray, amen, that you will continue to be blessed by the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we do come now to say thank you. Lord, as the choir sung, there in all the earth is none like you. You stand by yourself, and beside thee there is no other. Lord, we are grateful that we can call on your name. We can lean on you, Lord, when we're tired. We can trust in you, Lord, when we're uncertain. God, you're a loving God, a merciful God, a gracious God, who's ever attentive to the prayers of your children. Come now, O God, because we need you, and we always need you. We need you now, O God, in the proclamation of your word. God, oftentimes you give messages that are more than we can preach in one setting. God, you have so much to say, but Lord, I ask that you would bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that it might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Christ's sake, I do pray, hide me behind the cross. Let them see you and not me, hear you and not me. In Jesus' name, amen. Sisters and brothers, on this last Sunday before Christmas, the day we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, typically sermons come from either the Gospel of Matthew or Luke, which include some portion of the birth narrative in the early childhood of our Lord. But God has laid a different text, a different narrative, and a different story on my heart regarding today's sermon message. It's still a Christmas message, but I want to call your attention to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 18. Verses 1 through 12. Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 12. According to, thank you. According to the NIV, the New International Version, you will find these words. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warn repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now therefore say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I'm preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts. The word of God for the people of God. Sisters and brothers, we are just a few short, thank you, ushers. We are just a few short days away from the date we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. During this season, some would suggest that it has been co-opted, and some would go as far as to say it has been corrupted by commercialism. Advertisements have been running nonstop, trying to get us to buy something. From jewelry to cars to toys to electronics and so on. People have been conditioned to give gifts and to expect to receive gifts. So lists have been made. Desires have been shared. Hints have been dropped. Wishes have been traded. And on the 25th of December, children will rush to see what's under the tree, hurry to see what's in their stockings, and adults will exchange gifts. Some of us are looking, we're hoping, we're desiring, we're wishing, and we're wanting that special gift. But this Christmas, what about God? In this season, when people share what they want with each other, what about God? What does God want, desire, hope for, and long for from his children? Ask some people what God wants or expects of his children, and some of them will tell you that God is looking for perfection, because God is perfect. God is unblemished. God is holy. God is complete, lacking nothing. God is just. God is fair, and God is righteous. So he must be looking for that from his children. God wants you to know that when he looks at the world, when God looks at humanity, when God looks at people, he's looking for something. Sisters and brothers, whether we know it or not, whether we accept it or not, God has also got a wish list. And we can see it in the text that God is looking for flexibility. That's the title of our sermon today. God is looking for flexibility. Perhaps you are wondering, what does it mean to be flexible? It means capable of being bent or flexed, pliable, susceptible to divine influence or persuasion, responsive to change, adaptable, characterized by a readiness to adapt to a new, different, and changing requirements. Ever since the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve failed, sin failed, and missed the mark, God has been trying to shape and reshape, mold and remold, make and remake men and women into reflections of his divine nature, his divine image, and instill in them his divine personality. Tell your neighbor, God is looking for flexibility. If we are going to reach the mark, attain the goal, realize God's divine will, and live lives worthy of his calling, we have got to be flexible. If we are going to please God, honor God, exalt God, and spotlight God in our lives, we have got to be flexible. If the church is going to lift up Jesus, magnify the Lord, glorify his name, let our light shine and bless his holy name, it has to be flexible. If God is going to get the glory, get the honor, and get the credit, we have got to be flexible. If we are going to do the work of his will, serve the Savior, promote his message, and convey his agenda, we have got to remain flexible. Tell your neighbor, God ain't through with me yet. God wanted to talk to Jeremiah, but he couldn't talk to him where he was. So he sent him down to the potter's house. The first point that God wants you and me to know. And this text tells us sometimes God has to get us to a place or at a place where he can talk to us. Sometimes it's a hospital bed. Sometimes it's a jail cell. And sometimes it's an unemployment line. Sometimes it's a place where we ain't comfortable and we don't want to be there. Now, the truth be told, God would prefer talking to us in the temple, in the sanctuary, in the synagogue, or in the church. But sometimes God has to get us to a place where he has our undivided attention. Yes, he's got to get us there so he can talk to us and tell us what he's trying to tell us. Isn't that right? Oh, yeah, I know you can say amen. I believe there is a witness or two in the Bible. Jonah, where are you? Will you testify for us? Oh, yeah, God told me to go down to Nineveh and prophesy, but I wasn't hearing that. So I decided to go to Tarshish, but God sent a storm. I was thrown overboard, ended up in the belly of a whale for 3 days. Then I was ready to hear what the Lord had to say. God talked to the fish, fish spit me out, and I made a 3-day journey in 1 day. And did exactly what the Lord told me to do. Paul, where are you? Will you testify for? Oh yeah. I was on my way to Damascus to arrest Christians, but on that road a bright light shined, knocked me from my horse. And I heard God talking, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Up until then, I didn't want to hear anything Jesus had to say, but I ended up blind, unable to see. Then I said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Sisters and brothers, if we don't listen to the Lord in here, there are some places he will allow us to go that we will listen. Another thing that we can't help but notice in the passage is that God wasn't talking to strangers. He wasn't talking to outsiders or unbelievers. He was talking to his children, Israel and Judah. Isn't that right? Jeremiah is at the potter's house. Because God told him to go there. And he went. He observes the potter working on a pot. But there's something wrong with it. The text says it was marred in the hand of the potter. So he had to rework it. Refix it. And reshape it. Because it was marred. If something is marred, it means it is damaged. It is flawed. The Bible dictionary says marred means to be bruised, harmed, impaired, ruined, scarred, spoiled, stained, tainted, tarnished, wrecked, blemished, blot, bleak, defaced, deformed, dinged, disfigured, injured, maimed, mangled, mutilated, scratched, warped, fouled up, loused up, messed up, roughed up, and shaken up. Tell your neighbor, some of that applies to me. And some of that applies to you. I believe the late gospel artist James Cleveland realized this. That's why he sang, "Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. But when he gets through, I will come forth as pure gold." But no matter what may be wrong with us, God is able. God knows our nature. He understands that we are sinful. We are wretched. We are undone. All of our righteousness is like a dirty rag. And all of us have come short of his glory. But God, through Jeremiah, tells us that he's able, like the potter, to do a new thing in our lives if we're flexible. God is able to shape and reshape, make and remake, mold and remold, build and rebuild the lives of men and women to his glory if we remain flexible. Isn't he able? Sisters and brothers, if God can take nothing and make everything, if God can take the dust and make a man, if God can take a rib bone and make a woman, if God can take a virgin and make a baby, and if God can take a wood and make a cross, and take a cross and make an altar, and take that altar and save the world, God can do anything. Isn't he able? He's able to turn a drug dealer into a deacon, a pimp into a preacher, a prostitute into a missionary, an alcoholic into a Sunday school teacher, a drug addict into a choir member, and a thief into a trustee. God can do anything. Isn't he able? When the clay becomes hard and inflexible, it is discarded because it is no longer able to be shaped by the potter. It is unusable. When God's children become inflexible, we can't be used by God to do what he wants us to do, because we can't be shaped and made to walk in the likeness of his will. When we are inflexible, God can't get us to where he wants us to go. God can't get us to think like he wants us to think. God can't get us to act like he wants us to act. And God can't get us to do what he wants us to do when we are not flexible. As God's people, we cannot get to where God wants us to go without being flexible. We cannot do what God wants us to do without being flexible. We cannot be the people he is calling for us to be without being flexible. Because when the clay stiffens, hardens, or dries, it is no longer able to be used for anything. When God's people are hard-hearted, stiff and dried out, they are no longer able to be used by God for his glory. That's why God wants us to come as little children. Children can be shaped and molded for the glory of God. Ain't he all right? Maybe that's why in the Bible sometimes God referred to his children as stiff-necked, rebellious, and disobedient. It's in there. This has to do with being unwilling to adapt and adjust to the will of God. Being inflexible has hampered, hindered, and curtailed divine dreams, precious promises, limitless possibilities, and undone godly plans. The blessings that God intends, the miracles that God wants to perform, the work that God wants to get done, and the ministries that God wants to accomplish are often put on hold because people have hardened their hearts. Am I right about it? If we're going to get in the spiritual shape and get to the proper place where God wants us, we have got to be flexible. But don't get it twisted. If you get in God's way, He has a way of moving you to a place where He can get your attention. Ain't He all right? God sent Jeremiah down to the potter's house so he could talk to him. This encounter highlights God's ability and humankind's sinfulness. All of us during our lives, sisters and brothers, God has been trying to shape us. God gave Jeremiah an inside view to what he was dealing with. Isn't that right? Anybody who claims to be a child of God, a servant of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, a believer, a disciple, or born again, wants to know what God wants or God expects from them. Do I have a witness in here? But there was a mar in the vessel. Sin caused the mar in the vessel. Injustice causes a mar in the vessel. Jealousy causes a mar in the vessel. Envy causes a mar in the vessel. Dissension causes a mar in the vessel. Hatred causes a mar in the vessel. My way or no way causes a mar in the vessel. Greed causes a mar in the vessel. Disobedience causes a mar in the vessel. Lying causes a mar in the vessel. Gossip causes a mar in the vessel. And sowing the seeds of discord causes a mar in the vessel. I hear God saying something. I loved you so you could love others, but there's a mar in the vessel. I forgave you so you could forgive others, but there's a mar in the vessel. I bless you so you could bless others, but there's a mar in the vessel. Sisters and brothers, God is looking for something in us that we can see in God. God is flexible. Do I have a witness here? God tells Jeremiah, if a nation does wrong and I plan to punish them and they repent, I will reverse it. If they obey my plan and I reward them, but they turn away from following me, I will reverse it. If God were not flexible, there would be no mercy. We would receive no grace. Salvation would not be free. There would be no loving kindness and no tender mercies for the psalmist to talk about. There would be no songs like Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Oh, he looked beyond my fault and saw my needs. Oh, God has smiled on me and he has set me free. Oh, songs like Jesus paid it all. Oh, to him we owe. If God were not flexible, But aren't you glad God is flexible? That's why he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. God is flexible. That's why John wrote, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Ain't it all right? Yeah. Sisters and brothers, when we know what the person we love wants and needs, we can give it to him. I'm here to tell you, the person that loved us, he gave us something. He gave us his son, who gave up his life for our salvation, our reconciliation, our deliverance, and our healing. But he also wants something. When you love somebody, when you love someone, you want to know what they want. I love the Lord, and I heard him say, if you love me, keep my commandment. This Christmas and every Christmas, God wants something. And there's a double blessing in what God wants from and for his children. Because what God wants is also good for us. Ain't it all right? Since the Garden of Eden, God has been looking, hoping and waiting, and waiting and desiring for something in men and women. After all, he made them. He fashioned them. He designed them. He shaped them in his image. And after his likeness, we are made in the image of God. But all of us have been marred, and we need to be reshaped, reformed, and remade in our lives. If we come to church mad and go home mad, come to church bitter, go home bitter, come with malice in our hearts, leave with it the same, come with judgmental spirits and go home with it, we are marred and need to be reshaped and remolded by the Master. But we've got to be flexible. When the hymn writer thought about coming to Jesus, she picked up her pen and wrote these words, have thine own way, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Any alright? Any alright? The psalmist David came to the Lord to be remade. When David got there, he prayed this prayer, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness and the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgression, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin.
created in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit down on the inside. Ain't it alright? Yeah!
Hey!
David said, I stretch out my hand to thee, my soul thirsts like a parched hand. Hands mirror the soul, stretch out to God for the thee, oh Lord. I lift up my soul, lifted up hands, express the inner man and the inner woman's desperate response. Wanting God, it indicates that they need the Lord. Solomon, when he stood before the altar, stretched forth his hand toward heaven. He asked the Lord to honor the prayers that alone up to him from the temple. David calls out, hear my voice and my supplication when I cry for help as I lift up my hand toward your sanctuary. Brothers and sisters, raised hand indicate surrender. Raised hand, a symbol of worship. And raised hand mean your trust in God. Ain't it alright? That is why the psalmist wrote, oh, clap your hand, all ye people, lift up your hand in the sanctuary. Ain't it alright?
Hey! Yeah! I'ma close now. I'ma close now. But I'm reminded of a story of a grandmother who loved Jesus and had served him all of her life. But in her old age, she had gotten Alzheimer's disease. Nobody wanted to take this grandmother in. Granddaughter said, give me my grandmama. Just because she doesn't remember me, I still remember her and all that she did for me growing up. She had to put on special doors so that her grandmother would not wander off. Each Sunday morning, she would take the grandmother to the house of the Lord, and her grandmother would sit there with a puzzled look on her face, like she did not know where she was. But every time they would sing, Precious Lord, take my hand, her hands would go up. They would try to put her hands down. But as long as they sang that song, her hands would stay up. One day the granddaughter was in the back doing some work. She thought she had latched the door. But her grandmother wandered out of the house. About an hour later, the granddaughter came looking for her grandmother. But she wasn't in the house. So she called 911. They came out with search dogs and a watch team. They told her to stay in the house while they went out to look for her grandmother. They started looking. The sun went down. They still didn't find her. Finally, about 10 o'clock that night, the head detective knocked on the door. And he said, ma'am, I got some good news, but I also got some bad news. We found your mother, and she's your grandmother, and she's still alive. The granddaughter asked, what's the bad news? The detective said, she's floating down the river on a wooden barge. And we've got to get to the bridge because we have some men on the bridge that are ready to catch her when she floats past. But we want you to come with us. They went to the bridge. And when they got there, there was a helicopter shining a light on the grandmother as she was floating down the river with her hands down. They had a man lowered down on a rope, ready to grab her. The man trying to rescue her said, "I need her to put her hands up." He said to the granddaughter, "I need her to put her hands up." But she said, "I don't know what to do because she's got Alzheimer's disease." So she started hollering out, "Grandmother, put your hands up." But the grandmother's hands were still by her side. The detective said, "We've got to get her to put her hands up." The granddaughter started thinking and said, "Oh yeah, I think I know how to get her hands up. Give me the bullhorn." And she started singing, "Precious Lord, take my hand." And both of grandmama's hands went up. "Precious Lord, take my hand." The detective said, "Keep on singing. Lead me on. Help me stand." He told her to keep on singing. "I'm tired, I'm weak, and I'm worn. Keep on singing. Ain't the Lord all right? As I close, I got 10 reasons why we ought to raise our hands and give God glory and give Him some praise. Number one, He's been good. Number two, He's been good. Number three, He's been good. Number four, He's been good. Number five, He's been good. Number six, He's been good. Number seven, He's been good. Number eight, He's been good. Number nine, He's been good. Number 10, God been good. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Yeah! Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
You, but the Lord been good to me. He brought me from a mighty long way. I could be dead, sleeping in my grave, but I'm glad. Ain't he alright? Say
hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? God is flexible. When Adam failed, God changed the script. When the law of Moses didn't work, God changed the script. When people ignored the prophet, God changed the script. Changed it for you. Changed it for me. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Joys are flowing like a river since the Comforter has come. He abides with me forever. Makes the trusting heart his home. Blessed quietness. Holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, dealers speak to me, and the billows cease to roll. Ain't he alright? Ain't he alright? Has it been good? Won't it make a way? Won't it pick you up? Turn you around, bring your feet on solid ground. Say yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. God is looking for flexibility. Doors of the church are open.